KCNR Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicolaus & Company, 244-7199.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, America. Mark Levin here, our third hour. Our number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Since Comcast's MSNBC and MSNBC's Joy Reid and Joy Reid's guest, the two of them brought it up. The police chief of the Uvalde School District donated money to Act Blue in December 2017 that was earmarked for Beto O'Rourke, a man who pretends to be Hispanic. So what we believe to be the Hispanic police chief donated money to the Irish candidate Beto O'Rourke, who pretends to be Hispanic. And all this is relevant to Joy Reid and her guest over at MSNBC. Not the slaughter. No, the politics that they try to project on top of it. These are truly sick people. And they're given a platform. Why? They shouldn't be given any platform whatsoever. Politico is very upset about Tom Cotton. Politico is the reliably left-wing Democrat hack operation, with an exception here and there so it can pretend to be a news operation. Tom Cotton's rigid conservatism is the title. You'll never see a story about AOC, about AOC's rigid Marxism or socialism. No. See, Tom Cotton is a rigid conservative. In other words, he's a principled man. He doesn't say no when asked about 2024, but the Arkansan does rule out giving ground on much, from immigration to criminal justice to foreign policy. What's wrong with that? Everybody can't be Mitch McConnell. Everybody can't be Mitt Romney. Everybody can't be Larry Hogan. Politicians don't enjoy it, but most change positions at least once in their careers. Then there's Tom Cotton. This is how the story is written by Burgess Everett. Is Burgess a man or a woman? Oops, sorry. Those categories don't count anymore. From restricting legal and illegal immigration to hawkish foreign policy to criticizing the nation's under-incarceration of criminals, and he's right about all that. In fact, he's an attractive candidate, if you ask me. The Arkansas senator keeps staking out hard-line positions. They're only hard-line positions if you're weak. They're only hard-line positions if you're a leftist. They're mainstream traditional positions if you're a constitutionalist, you idiot. In anticipation that fellow Republicans will come to him, as small government as they come on every issue other than national security. Excuse me, have you read the Constitution lately, you moron? National security is the job of the federal government. Cotton is a 1980s throwback, mentioning former President Ronald Reagan 10 times in a lengthy interview with Politico. Man, he is an attractive candidate, don't you think, Mr. Producer? And he sees his rigidity as a feature not a bug of his brand of immovable politics. I have strong opinions. I stick to those views. Not till I feel vindicated. Until I am vindicated on the facts, as I have been on almost every point, Cotton said when asked if he feels redeemed by his steadfast views. His rigid, steadfast views! It's not a matter of I feel vindicated, it's a matter that I've been vindicated. Good for you. It's the way to tell the jerk. Cotton doesn't say no when asked if he's planning to run for president in 2024. If her party's still reeling from the peripatetic ideology of Donald Trump, oh, what a word. Cotton could offer a predictable alternative. He builds few bridges to Democrats and isn't afraid of clobbering Republicans either. You know, Tom Cotton and the rest of the nation, I want you to know something. This is the way they treat principled conservative Republicans. Whether the name is Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, Ted Cruz, Tom Cotton. Any Republican nominee for president is going to be treated this way, just so you know. They're going to be brutalized. They're going to be attacked. Unless they're sellouts, like potentially a John Cornyn or a Mitt Romney or something like that, who they opposed anyway. And then in the end, if they get the nomination, it'll attack them too. Cotton said, we have an election right in front of us that's highly consequential, so I'll get beyond that election before I start thinking about any future elections. It's an understatement to say Cotton is a polarizing force in American politics. Just ask mild-mannered left-wing kook Senator Gene Shaheen, who angrily replied to Cotton's criticism that the Democrat Party is conciliatory toward Russia. That dog won't hunt. Oh, that Gene Shaheen. She's always so sharp. Look how this article is pasted together. Cotton was once the youngest member of the Senate, and after more than 7 years in the chamber, he's still the third youngest at 45. Barely 2 months into his tenure, Cotton upended global foreign policy with a letter to Iran's leaders informing them that any nuclear agreement with then-President Barack Obama could later be voided by the next commander-in-chief. Now, how off was Cotton? This from today's Jerusalem Post. Iran could have 4 crewed nukes in 3 months, says the think tank. I told you they're about to break out. And you're going to say, oh my God. Iran could have 4 crewed nuclear bombs within 3 months if it decides to cross the nuclear threshold, said the Institute for Science and International Security. This would not be the same as having full-fledged nuclear weapons. Oh, okay, it must be okay then. Which could be delivered on a ballistic missile. That might only take 6 months. But it is a more serious threat than the enriched uranium that Israel and others have faced from the Islamic Republic. So who was right when he was in the Senate for 2 months? Tom Cotton was right. Who was wrong? Obama and Biden. And you morons of Politico. Meanwhile, I have to read this in the Times of Israel from the Associated Press. Iranian hack attack on Boston Children's Hospital thwarted by FBI, says its director, Christopher Ray. Ray tells a Boston College cybersecurity conference that his agents learned of the planned digital attack on the Children's Hospital in Boston from an unspecified intelligence partner. Got the hospital the information it needed last summer to block what would have been one of the most despicable cyber attacks I've seen, said the putative FBI director. And quick actions by everyone involved, especially at the hospital, protected both the network and the side kids, and the sick kids who depended on it. What was that paragraph? That Burgess Everett. Maybe Burgess is a he-she. I'll say he-she so I don't offend him or her. Cotton was once the youngest member of the Senate. Barely 2 months into his tenure, he upended global foreign policy with a letter to Iran's leaders informing them that any nuclear agreement with then-President Barack Mehoz Benito Obama could later be voided by the next commander-in-chief. Wow. That's unbelievable. He served two combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he beat Mark Pryor. Remember that jerk? Remember that guy? Democrat? Arkansas by 17 points in 2014. His favorite food is birthday cake. You know what? Mine is too. Mine is too. Cotton said he's committed to continue to provide Ukraine with the money from Congress, even if Republicans take back the Senate majority. Good for you. I agree. Questions about Biden's Ukraine policies, which have been praised by some Republicans, elicited a lengthy diatribe about the president. He's been terrible in Ukraine. The Ukrainian war is a massive failure of deterrence. It's primarily Joe Biden who failed to lead the Western response in the lead-up to Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine. That's all factually accurate. But Rand Paul may not agree. Now, they hate Rand Paul, too, but this is the game that the Burgesses, the he-she's, play over at the Politico. At Politico. So I read this thing and I said, wow, Tom Cotton. Guy would be very, very good. Very, very good. And maybe one day the he-she Burgess might actually grow up and become a journalist. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Proven experience, fighting for you.
This is Stephanie Bridget, your Shasta County District Attorney. I've spent two decades fighting for your safety. I've personally prosecuted murderers, rapists, and child molesters, sending them to prison for life. I have met with and advocated for thousands of victims, giving them a voice against those that have harmed them. I am tough on crime and support a bigger jail. Vote for me, Stephanie Bridget, on June 7th.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
I'm Ed Rollman, a third-generation Shasta County native, business owner, and founder of the Merchants Crime Watch. District Attorney Stephanie Bridget has a 20-year proven record of fighting for the safety of Shasta County, including protecting local businesses from repeat offenders. That's why I support her re-election. We don't need someone like her opponent, a workers' comp lawyer with no experience who will need on-the-job training. Vote Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney 2022.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate is estimated to be upwards of 10%. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation, and the name to know is Noble Gold. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Mention the word radio, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word radio, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. Mention the word radio, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
There's a reason liberals line up for a smackdown. Free government cheese from Mark Levin.
Andrew Pollack and his family suffered a horrendous loss when his beautiful daughter Meadow was shot dead in cold blood in Parkland. And he founded an organization called MeadowsMovement.org. A few years back, he wrote a book, Why Meadow Died, The People and Policies That Created the Parkland Shooter and Endanger America's Students. Andrew Pollack, thank you for coming on the program this evening. I greatly appreciate it. You've seen what's happened now in Texas. You see the same political ambulance chasers saying much of the same thing, coming up with proposals that wouldn't have done a damn thing to stop this nut job in Texas, taking things off the table like building security. Obviously, the police chief there really screwed up big time. What do you make of all this, Andrew?
Well, it's mind-boggling to me that it's 4 years later and that district didn't take the necessary precautions to protect their faculty and the children. It hurts me, you know, because now there's other families in my boat, in my club, I call it, that a club you don't want to be in. And I feel for them. But it's avoidable, you know. And, you know, forget now, like, I don't even want to focus. Forget the politicians either side, okay? I want to focus on parents. You know, the parents have the power. It's their responsibility to make sure their children are safe. You can't leave it to politicians anymore. The parents need to step up. They need to recognize what's going on at their children's school, and they have the power to make a difference and change.
This is extremely important because what I've been saying, and I'm so glad to hear you say this, parents who go to these school board meetings to correctly challenge the curriculum and what's being done to their children need to now add this to the top of their list. They need to make demands about securing the building, having it trained, appropriate personnel armed right there so they can take care of business and take out the perpetrator and secure that building. They need to take over these school buildings. You agree, obviously.
Correct. The cancer in this country, it starts locally, Mark, in the school boards. You know, it starts in the school boards and it works its way up all the way to D.C. where there's a swamp. And it starts in the school board. But parents, if you want your children safe, okay, you have the power to elect these like-minded people like ourselves that want our children safe, that want the right curriculum. So if you don't have the money to send your child to private school, which a lot of Americans don't, okay, because that's my first number one thing is if you can afford it, you send your children to private school if you can. You don't hear about these things happening in private schools. And number two, if you can't, charter school, you can't. If you have to send them to a public school, you have to get involved. I tell parents all week long, I've been saying it, tomorrow after you drop your child off at school, go for a coffee, go back in 15 minutes and see if you could get back into the school. That's number one. You know, just because there's a single point of entry at a school, it doesn't mean that you can't get in. You know, if the principal of that school doesn't have a protocol of not opening a door when someone knocks on it, and if they don't enforce it, you could go to any school, knock on the door, a kid's going to open the door. You know, and that's what these shooters do. You know, they gain access, and the rest, you know, people forget, Mark, that in May 18, 2018, same exact thing in Santa Fe, Texas, Mark, 10 people murdered in a school from a side door being left open.
Mm-hmm. Now, it turns out in this case that the original story is not correct. The teacher did not push the door open. As a matter of fact, when she came in, and the video supports her statement, she tried to shut it and lock it, but the locking system wasn't working. Doesn't this again go to the fact that you got to prioritize security and safety, and you have to assume there are nut jobs out there who are going to try and breach the school?
Yep, you can't assume there is, right?
Yeah.
We know that as a fact, the way society's going, there is. But what happened to the next door for the school, for the classroom? Why wasn't that? I haven't heard anyone say, you know, vote a call in Florida. You know, Florida got a lot of things right at that time, Governor Scott. He got a lot of things done for the state of Florida on school safety, and now with Governor DeSantis continues doing it. But protocol is when the bell starts, the door is locked. Okay, there's another protocol. You know, they're hearing shots outside the building. We call it, in Florida, it's called the Code Red, a lockdown. Why, I haven't heard. Was there a lockdown called? Did they lock? They should have shut. Every classroom should have been locked in that school.
What do you think? I mean, the decision by the commander, the chief here, to treat it as a barricade situation when there at least 100 rounds were fired in that school. I mean, I have a friend of mine who's a cop here in Martin County, Florida. He said to me, never, never. We're told get in that school and take down the perpetrator. It's that simple.
Well,
I mean,
that's
kind of crazy.
Yeah, you would think after Parkland, right, you know, when that one deputy, they did have an SRO, he hid. They had him on video. 40 minutes, he stood by a wall with his back to his wall, to the wall, with his gun drawn for 40 minutes. Why children were in the school getting murdered, right? And didn't go in the building. So after that, I really thought that I made a difference. And every officer in this country knows when they hear gunfire, you got to keep moving towards that gunfire. The only excuse that I could come up with, and I spoke with some experts in it, is if that door was locked, it could, and they don't have a key or somehow to get in, it could take 30 to 40 minutes to breach one of those doors in a school. But this is all going to come out, you know, with the cameras and the videos.
Well, also, we know that an off-duty Border Patrol agent, one of the highly trained ones, was off campus. He was off duty. He's getting a haircut. He heard what was taking place. He borrowed the shotgun from the barber who had one. He ran to the school, got into the school through another door, and started going down hallway and hallway and getting kids and teachers out of there, including his wife, who's a teacher, and his kid, who went to that school. So it seems to me, again, we'll learn it all, Andrew. It seems to me that there was a way into that school. Well, there's a will, as they say, there's a way. And that guy had a will and a way. I want to come back, Andrew. Can you stick with us, sir?
Sure, definitely.
MeadowsMovement.org. Please check it out. MeadowsMovement.org. His beautiful young daughter who was gunned down. We'll be right back.
Greta Van Susteren is back and making waves. She's joining Newsmax as host of the new show, The Record, with Greta Van Susteren. Starting June 14th, Greta reports on the big stories from Washington and around the world, giving you the facts you need to know. Greta is smart, asks the tough questions, and is always fair. She's the real deal. Journalism the way it ought to be. That's why millions are making the switch to Newsmax. Make the switch and watch Greta Van Susteren Estrin. Get the info about her new show. Just text the word Greta to 39747 or go to gretasback.com. That's gretasback.com. Newsmax is America's fastest growing cable news channel. It's on all major cable systems and streaming platforms. Make the switch today and get the latest on Greta's new show. Text Greta to 39747. Newsmax is real news for real people. Texting enrolls for automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Remember us, the Tula Kids? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH, that's 241-3474, or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH-authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, using only the finest dark, oily broadleaf Maduro wrappers paired with a rich blend of Nicaraguan long filler tobaccos. This is a stick on the full side. An effortless draw brings out the wonderfully layered notes of espresso, black pepper, and cedar. Jaime Garcia Reserva Especial, Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Prince. You need to take charge of the safety in your schools and your school district and not leave it up to educational bureaucrats. And you know what, Andrew? I would want to demand to see what the written plan is, what the written guidelines are, what the training is, the whole kit and caboodle. Tell me, what do you think?
I think you're 100% right. And, you know, there's been a movement across the country. So there is like that with all the negativity going on. You parents are waking up to this and they have the power to make a change. You know, you have to know if about the code red drills. That's what we call the lockdown drills, the single point entry. You know how many parents I talk to in the country don't know if there's an armed security or police officer at the school, and it's 2022. They don't know. You know, the more the merrier. You know, in Florida, you know, we did make changes in Florida. We really got a lot done after this. I worked so hard with the legislature. In Florida, we have, it's mandatory by law that there's at least one officer per 500 students in a school. And they're allowed, some districts, they're allowed to train school teachers that volunteer. They're allowed to carry if they go through this very intense training, but parents don't even know, a lot of them. You ask them, it's mind-boggling to me that they don't know. Everyone thinks, Mark, it can't happen to me. That's what they say. Can't happen. And they said that in Uvalde, and the school district said it, and look what happened.
When you first heard about this, what went through your mind in this recent mass murder?
Well, that this kid didn't just wake up that day and said he's going to kill his grandma and 20 people at the school, or 21, or I'm not sure of the number. But he didn't, it just doesn't happen. Someone just doesn't, most of the time, they don't just wake up and go shoot up a supermarket or a school or a post office. You know, let's go back a couple of weeks ago, that shooting in New York at Buffalo in that supermarket. There were so many warning signs, and again, so look, this individual that shot up that supermarket, he threatened to shoot the school up when he was in school, and he was never arrested. I don't know what these mental health care workers are doing, but they're doing society a disservice by, you need to put something on, when they threaten to kill or hurt themselves or kill people, they need to get a background, Mark, so the gun laws that we have work. There's really good gun laws in this country, but if someone doesn't have a background, it defeats the whole purpose. So by not getting this on their background, it really hurts society, and that's a way we could fix the system easy. Instead of just dumping these mentally ill, evil people at the hospital and leaving them there for the day, you got to put the program in place where they get in front of a judge and it goes on their background.
Mm-hmm. And we don't see statistics, certainly not out of the federal government, at least I can't find them. Maybe they're there. On the enforcement levels of existing federal gun laws and federal requirements, are the U.S. attorneys throughout the country, in every corner of the country, are they really prosecuting these crimes in these cases? Do we have any idea, Andrew?
Well, we know he didn't get prosecuted in Buffalo for threatening mm-hmm. to shoot the school up. The more lenient they are, the less likely they're going to have a background. I think even the one, the guy in the subway in New York, he had so many things on him, and he still went into the he went and was able to shoot up the subway. So mm-hmm. the system's broken, and it's easy to fix. You know, when these mentally ill people have issues, and my wife, you know, I only know this firsthand because my wife works in she's an ER physician, and she does shift work in the hospital, and I can't tell you how many times people like, just like that shooter that most of these mass shooters that threatened, they were dropped off at the hospital, okay, and never went in front of a judge. And she sees someone like that, I don't know, on a monthly basis, someone will come in once a month or once every month that could easily just be a shooter somewhere else, and they leave the hospital with no background. So no gun law in the world is going to work.
And that guy who killed all those people in Buffalo, he was only held for 36 hours in that hospital. What are you going to know in 36 hours?
And there is a process. You know, in Florida, we call it a Baker Act. But 99.9% of the time, it never goes to in front of a judge. And I could tell you another statistic. In the last 25 years, they went and did research. 50% of the shooters in the last mass shooters were seeing mental health workers. And not one had something put on their background. So, you know, if they're going to see a mental health worker and they're a threat and a danger to themselves and others, why isn't this going on their background so we're safe? So our kids are safe out of school, or you're safe at the supermarket.
I have a headline here. Andrew Pollack on Breitbart says Democrats to vote on 6 gun controls that wouldn't have prevented the Uvalde attack. This is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, none of it's gonna. They're gonna say background checks. Well, if you don't arrest, you know, universal background checks. You hear that word like on a daily basis. But background checks only work if they arrest. You know, and think about it. That shooter in Uvalde, he could have went. I hate even saying this. It's like, you know, he could have went in that school with a hatchet, Mark. No one was stopping him. He walked right in through the side door. He walked down the hallway, went into a classroom, locked the door. He could have had a baseball bat, a pistol, you know. So looking at, you know, a weapons, you know, any weapon he could have went in that school with. That's not the answer. More gun laws. Enforce the ones that are in place. You'll see a difference.
They include background checks for ghost guns, gun storage requirements for homes with minors, additional penalties for gun trafficking and straw purchases, a bump stock ban, and a requirement that existing bump stocks be registered under the auspices of the National Firearms Act. That wouldn't have done a damn thing in Parkland. None of that.
None of them. Not in Buffalo and not in Texas either. Wouldn't have done anything, these laws. So I don't, you know, you get these people, what bothers me the most is when they start spewing this, it takes away from what we really could focus on, real solutions, you know, single point of entry. Police officers at the school, code red training. How about putting backgrounds on these mentally ill people that go and get dropped off at the hospital? Those are solutions, but when you hear these things, you know, they're not going to accomplish anything. It's just chatter. And you know what? Some of these Republicans are just as bad. You know, I get aggravated with them, too. Mm-hmm. They gave a hire to work at the school.
I don't have a problem with that because I don't think it's either or. I'm just being honest with you.
Yeah.
If they were serious about protecting these schools, just do it.
They
have the funds. They have funds for everything. They blow $200 billion out of that COVID money. We don't even know where it went.
Yeah, they could just print more. You know, all they have to do, like I said, it's very simple. You go to a hotel, Mark, you can't get in, right? There's only one way in. Every door is locked. You know, why wouldn't they go to a school if they could get in access through a side door? You know, it doesn't make sense.
And they're protecting the Capitol building.
Like you said,
they're protecting the Capitol building. They're protecting the airport. They protect what they want to protect. And you're right. The parents, even those who are organized, but there are many that aren't in several districts, they have got to get loud about this. They've got to get loud about this. And push for action immediately. You're right.
There's lots of groups that are forming. There's that one that comes to my head is that Moms for Liberty. That's a growing group. Get with the right people in these groups. They have meetings. There's power in unity. You know, and if they go at these school boards and they put the right people in there, and there are the right people out there that want to run these school boards. You know, in Broward County, the budget that these school boards are controlling is over $4 billion in Broward just for the school
enormous.
District.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to just say one thing because you have such a big listening crowd.
Yes, sir.
In Broward County, We did get a lot of accountability. There was one deputy that didn't go in that day. He got arrested on felony child endangerment. He's going to be on trial in September, where he possibly could lose his pension. The superintendent, you know, Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, put in a grand jury investigation into the school district after the shooting. He was arrested. The superintendent was arrested on perjury felony charges, Mark, and he was fired. The sheriff was fired. So, you know, we did get a lot of things done in Florida, but, you know, there's still so much more you could do, and it doesn't happen unless the parents get involved.
Now, does your organization, MeadowsMovement.org, provide some information to parents around the country?
Yes, they could go to SecureMySchool.com, SecureMySchool.com. I lay it all out for them, what to look for, how their schools should be putting the safety at the utmost, you know, and they could read through it, and then they could compare it to what's going on in their school. We go out. We could go to a school and look at what they're doing in safety. We have some schools we're doing here, some charter schools out in Oregon. We travel the country. So if you reach out to us, we'd be happy to come to your child's school. We could do a presentation. We have law enforcement agents that are trained in active shooting. So parents need to go on there. They could see the different products we have on school safety. And that's what I'm doing, Mark, just trying to educate parents so something like this doesn't happen to them.
SecureMySchool.com, Mr. Producer. Let's flop that on all our social platforms. SecureMySchool.com, America. Parents in particular.
SecureMySchoolNow.
SecureMySchoolNow.com. SecureMySchoolNow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to take a look, please, and make this an issue in your school system as much as you can. Be very aggressive about it. You know, Andrew Pollack, you're a remarkable man. You've got remarkable courage. You may not think so, but you do. And I want to thank you.
I feel like I need to do that for my daughter, Mark. She'd want me to get parents and wake them up. And just don't think that you could just drop them off at the school and they'd be safe. And, I dedicate to educating them so something like this doesn't happen to them.
Well, you're going to save a lot more lives, Andrew. And I guarantee you that your daughter would be so thrilled with her papa. She would be very, very proud, as we all are. And I want to thank you for reaching out to us.
Okay. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for letting me get my message out to your listeners.
You better believe it. Andrew Pollack, ladies and gentlemen, go to SecureMySchoolNow.com, SecureMySchoolNow.com. You know, with all the bad news and economic uncertainty, it's understandable you may not be sleeping well. Now, in a little way, I found a bright spot here. As bright spot I found in the madness. Something that can bring you a little bit of joy. Just a little. That's all you need. Redland cotton sheets. I love that they're pro-American, folks. Not one piece of their manufacturing process leaves the United States. They are proudly pro-American. The cotton is grown in Alabama on the Yeager family farm, and it's manufactured 100% in the USA into some of the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. And you don't have to get a second mortgage to pay for it either. Now, the secret to their sheets is an open paracol weave and a thicker yarn size that make them cool and comfortable all year long. Honestly, they are the perfect sheets for these hot summer months. Redland Cotton makes bedding the way it used to be done, when quality and attention to detail mattered. Support an American small business and sleep better tonight. You support them, they support you. Use my code Levin, L-E-V-I-N, for 20% off your purchase at redlandcotton.com. Folks, that's redlandcotton.com. Code Levin for 20% off at redlandcotton.com. I really want you to try this, particularly in the hot months that are coming. You're going to love it. It's all 100% American. From the time it is grown and harvested, cleaned, produced into the finest linens and towels, beddings. You're going to love it. That's redlandcotton.com, code Levin. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
Residents of District 5 in Greater Shasta County, this is Dan Gallier, proud City of Anderson resident and business owner. I'm proud to endorse Baron Browning for supervisor and hope you'll join me in voting for stability and solutions for Shasta County. Baron has invested his heart in the City of Anderson, is our current mayor, and has operated several small businesses in District 5. Baron's proven track record and success leading the City of Anderson can be seen across our community. Ag and local small businesses, public safety, and community leaders are squarely behind Baron and know he is the best qualified candidate in this race. Please join me in voting for Baron Browning and let's
get out the vote, Shasta County!
And paid for by Shasta Vote, informing voters and electing qualified candidates, supporting Bridget for district attorney, Johnson for sheriff, Darlene Allen for clerk, Flores for superintendent, Browning and Reznor for supervisor 2022. Committee major funding from Sierra Pacific Industries and Pascenta Band of Nomlaki Indians. Not authorized by a candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
He's passionate.
Just pathetic.
He's funny.
Get off the phone, you big goat.
And you always learn something. Mark Levin is on the radio.
Now four counted as dead in Tulsa, and the gunman was killed by the cops. Exactly. If you own a home or property, we need to talk, because as a lawyer, I'll give you two reasons You never want to be the victim of home title fraud. Reason one, when a cyber criminal worms his way onto your home's title, he'll take out loan after loan using your home's equity. Then he'll vanish, leaving you holding the bag. Reason two, you could be a victim of home title fraud and not even know it for months. No agency notifies you or asks if you sold your home or added someone to the title. You'll find out when the collection agencies call and they want their loans paid back. Well, you never took them out. Nobody knows more about how to help stop this crime than Home Title Lock, America's trusted leader. Home Title Lock, code Mark. Here's what I urge you to do. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, read the testimonials, then register your home address to see if you're already a victim. And when you protect your home, tell them Mark sent you for 30 free days of protection. That's HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. Tell them Mark sent you. I've been meaning to get to this. It's the most underreported story of the last week. And believe it or not, it's from the Associated Press. And I don't have a lot of time, but an Associated Press analysis of early voting records from data from L2 found that more than 37,000 people who voted in Georgia's Democratic primary 2 years ago cast ballots instead in last week's Republican primary, an unusually high number of so-called crossover voters. Even taking into account the limited sample of early votes, the data revealed that crossover voters were consequential in defeating Trump's handpicked candidates for Secretary of State and, to a lesser extent, governor. Crossover voting, also known as strategic voting, is not exclusive to Georgia this primary season, as voters across the political spectrum work to stop Trump-backed extremists from winning, this is a media report, from winning control of state and federal governments. The phenomenon is playing out in multiple primary contests, sometimes organically and sometimes in response to a coordinated effort by Trump's opponents. And the article goes on. We will post it on MarkLevinShow.com as we do all of our articles. Have you heard this from any news organization, from any journalist? It's in the AP. That's the biggest wire service in the world. They keep saying, we're going to see if Donald Trump has the muscle he used to have. But look, in Georgia, he doesn't. The Republicans must be moving away, Peggy Noonan says. George Costanza, Conway says. The Democrats are going into Republican primaries where they have open primary voting and voting for the opposite Republican that Trump endorsed. They're doing the same thing or planning to do the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, in Wyoming to try and save Dizzy Lizzy. Democrats going into the Republican primary to save her ass. Doing the same thing. They changed the whole voting system in Alaska to help Lisa Murkowski. This is the truth. We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, and the families who've recently lost loved ones. Hold on to this article, Mr. Producer. I want to expand on it tomorrow.
You can take us with you anytime, anywhere, live with our streaming audio feed at kcnr1460.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. Although Coach Master is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Another shooting, this one in Tulsa, Oklahoma today. A police captain says three people were killed by a gunman. The gunman later killed in a confrontation with police, bringing the total deaths to four. Tulsa Police Captain Richard Muhlenberg confirmed those numbers today and said the shooting took place on a hospital campus. The man who tried to assassinate President Ronald Reagan is being granted total freedom later this month. Here's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton.
For more than 40 years, John Hinckley Jr. has been living under restrictive conditions since shooting Reagan and several others in 1981. A federal judge determined that Hinckley has followed the court-imposed rules, remained mentally stable, and will be free of all remaining restrictions on June 15th.
That is White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. Most voters are concerned about hate speech on the Internet, but are divided about whether it can be suppressed without violating First Amendment guarantees of free speech.
A new Rasmussen Report's national telephone and online survey finds that 70% of likely U.S. voters believe hate speech on the Internet is a serious problem, including 45% who think the problem is very serious. 24% don't consider hate speech on the Internet to be a serious problem. The survey of 1,000 likely U.S. voters was conducted between May 29th and 30th. The margin of error was plus or minus 3% with a 95% level of confidence. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Correspondent Ben Thomas reports that the demand for U.S. workers cooled a bit in April, though job openings and the number of people quitting their jobs for better pay remain at historically high levels.
The Labor Department says employers were advertising 11.4 million jobs at the end of April. While that was down, March's 11.9 million was the highest in 20 years. The number of people quitting their jobs remained near a record high at 4.4 million in April.
Correspondent Ben Thomas on Wall Street, the Dow lost 176 points. More from townhall.com.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-690-4040. That's 1-800-690-4040. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-690-4040. That's 1-800-690-4040.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
A Florida man died yesterday searching for frisbees in a lake where people are warned to beware of alligators. According to correspondent Julie Walker, he seems to have ignored all the warnings.
Officials say the man was 47 years old, and the Largo Police Department confirms a gator was involved. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says a specialist was working to remove the alligator from the lake. No swimming signs are posted in the park, which is popular for its disc golf course. WFTS-TV caught up with Paul DeMio, who lives nearby.
Not surprised at all. Sad to say that. But, you know, Floridians believe that, you know, they're invincible. They go in the waters, they swim, and a gator's a gator. It's not your friend.
There have been 26 deadly alligator attacks in Florida, according to the Fish and Wildlife Commission, since record keeping began. I'm Julie Walker.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A defensive back for the Arizona Cardinals has died in a car crash.
Jeff Gladney died in the car crash in Dallas.
He was 25. Gladney's death was confirmed by the Cardinals and his agent, Brian Overstreet. Gladney played at TCU and was a 2020 first-round draft pick of the Minnesota Vikings.
That is John Scott reporting. Correspondent Jennifer King reports the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency is advising state election officials about software flaws that could leave Dominion election system machines vulnerable.
The advisory obtained by the Associated Press details 9 vulnerabilities and suggests protective measures. Examples include forging cards used in the machines by technicians or spreading malicious code between machines and into the election system. University of Michigan computer scientist J. Alex Halderman, who wrote the report on which the advisory is based, says it's more likely than not that serious problems could be found in equipment from other vendors if they were subjected to the same kind of testing.
More from townhall.com.
And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo. Yes, it is.
That one was for you.
That is my favorite.
Yeah.
So I heard.
Oh, you guys are awesome.
That's our new intro.
That's our new intro?
Just for today.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Good call.
Normally it's Van Halen, so I'm a little off cue here. But
Van Halen's good too, but that's pretty good.
That was at the behest of our lovely people behind
that's
the scenes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. It is hump
they were
day.
Like, hey, we got this. I was like, let's do it.
You know, it is hump day, except for those who work 24/7. Like for me, like, you know,
yeah.
Wednesday is just another day.
Why do you have to ruin it?
I know.
I'm climbing humps all the time, not just on Wednesday.
Well, anyway, good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
This is Nigel.
Yeah.
And
I'm James.
Co-pilot James. How you doing?
I'm good. Oh, you know what? The heat is here.
Welcome to Reading. For those of you who are new to Reading, who just moved into Reading, it's going to be like this from now until October.
Yeah. So, pretty much.
All right.
Pretty much.
101 today.
Unless we get one of those freaky summer
storms. I think there's
going to
be a little bit of a lull next week.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, welcome to Shasta County.
Welcome.
It is that season, election season. And
we're still in it.
We're still, yeah, 2 more weeks, right?
Everybody's
13 more days.
Everybody's
are you
fighting.
Ready for June 8th?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I am.
By June
it's
8th.
Like summer break, right?
Right?
Yeah.
You get out.
That's going to be hump day.
That is going to be the true hump day.
Right. Mm. So we have our sheriff with us, Sheriff Johnson. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for
welcome
having me.
Back.
Yeah.
Welcome to our crazy show.
Right.
We just have to keep doing check-ins with everybody, see where things are at, how people are feeling, what's going on, give everybody a chance to express how they think things are going, that kind of stuff. So,
okay.
Seeing as how the world is changing like every 3 days now.
Yeah, it's crazy,
right?
Isn't it? Yeah.
So, for those who don't know, who are new to Reading, new to Shasta County, right? Because we had a lot of people move out over the last 2 years, and we've had a lot of people move in over the 2 years.
Yes, we have.
So we do have a lot of newbies. welcome to Reading.
Mm-hmm.
And James's store is actually a good gauge for the newbies. We have a lot of new people coming in.
Lots of people coming in. Just, you know, you can just kind of get a feel. If you've been doing as many years as I have, that somebody seems just a little different, and so you ask them, you know, are you local? And many of them are saying, I am now. And I'm like, oh, really? How long when you? Oh, we moved here, you know, 6 months ago. We moved here 3 months ago. We moved here 2 weeks ago. I get a lot of that. Where are you coming from? A lot of people from Sacramento.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bay Area. But Sacramento seems to be the prominent, like, transitional mm-hmm. people that I'm running into right now. You know.
I guess that would be the definition.
And strangely enough, people from other parts of the country. That's right. The one that always makes me gobsmacked.
Can't blame them. We got a great area.
That's right, right?
And I'm like, why did you come this way? Right? I mean, for me, it's not the area. It's the California in general, right? Like, when I think, why did you move from there to California, knowing what's going on so much in California? But the Northern California, the true Northern California, really still has a very a desire.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's only so many people that can move in, from what I understand, still the aftermath of the car fire put a limit to the number of homes that are available.
Can't build them fast enough.
Right.
Yep.
So
are they really even being built that fast right now?
Well, I don't know. I guess it's all relative to what area you're in and how much construction you got going on. But
I mean, I've seen a lot of it.
I mean, they are building them out pretty good.
I just doesn't seem like as much as I would have thought in my head.
Well, in my perspective, it's plenty. They don't need to go any faster.
Okay, so you are our current sheriff, and you've been our sheriff for how long?
Since August of 2021, so about 10 months.
You're a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And before that?
Before that, I was 9 years. I was your chief of police in the city of Anderson, so South County. And prior to that, for 5 years, I was chief of police in Amador County, a little prison city called Ione.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And prior to that, on the coast in Eureka, that's where I started my law enforcement career, in Eureka PD.
That's right. And I was just asking you, you were there for 12 years. So you were in the Eureka PD?
Yeah, Eureka PD. And interestingly enough, I didn't set out to get into city police law enforcement. I ended up in Eureka because of Humboldt State. I went there to finish my college, got accepted there. I was going to be a fish and game warden is what the objective was and the scope was. But
I could see that.
After I graduated Humboldt State and I tested for state fish and game, I was on that list, and I don't know if you guys know this, but the state takes forever and everything they do.
I've heard that.
Yeah, and I was poor, and I needed a job, so I applied for the local PD, and I got hired, and I liked it. And so I took myself off the list and stuck in law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like it right off the bat?
I did. I actually did. And like I said, you know, I had no really intentions of becoming city police, but it was fun, and it turns out I was pretty good at it. So, I liked it a lot.
So you climbed the ranks?
Climbed the ranks, yeah. I went through the whole process. I was on patrol, you know, just a patrol officer to start off with. I spent most of my early career, working graveyards by choice. I'd trade for that because you get more action, and I was young and, you know, fit and adrenaline and all that. And it turned out to be work out for me and my family. And I ended up being on the SWAT team. I was a canine handler. I worked crime scene investigations and evidence, and I was a mentor. I did a lot of different stuff early in my career.
Yes, but did you work the Bigfoot detail?
Never was a believer.
No, you never came across one?
I never came across one, no. And I spent a lot of time out in the woods.
Well, we're going to have to change that.
Right. You said canine?
Yeah, I worked two different narcotics detection canines, both Labrador retrievers. And it was funny is when I used to work graveyards, I have this Labrador in the back of my car.
Uh-huh.
And the bad guys didn't know that I had a Labrador that would just lick you to death. They uh-huh. thought I had a man-eater because it's night and that's in the back of my car. So I taught them to bark on command. So when I would pull up to a group of four or five felons and have to deal with them, I'd have that dog start barking and the car uh-huh. would shake and they think I have a man-eater in the back and uh-huh. everybody's attitude would change. It was actually quite hilarious.
And it was a docile dog that could smell narcotics and
correct.
Things like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. Now, with that again, because I'm a dog lover, is that your dog? I mean, does it live with you? How does that work?
Yeah, it's technically owned. Well, it's not technically. It is owned by the city during the time you have them. But the dog goes home with you, stays with you full time. Then at the end of your career, the dog's had a long enough career, you ended up transferring ownership for $1, and they give you the dog and retire him out, and you get to keep him for the rest of his life.
So what happened to yours?
That's what I wanted to hear.
What's that?
So what happened to yours?
I kept them both until they died, you bet.
Because I'm like that, even though it's a working relationship, there's got to be a bond there.
Best partner in the world. I mean, you could be having the worst day at home, worst day with your wife, your kids, or whatever. Uh-huh. You get in that car, that dog's just happy to see you and happy to hang out with you. It's the best job I've had in law enforcement.
Oh, good. That's what I like to hear.
Yeah.
So, Eureka in general, more action than you thought? Or
Eureka, it is. There's a lot that goes on in Eureka. It is a great place to work when you're a young cop. A lot of serious crime that goes on, murders and home invasions and
I wonder if it's the
assaults
water.
And
They think it could just dispose of the body real easy. That's why.
Well,
just roll you into the ocean.
I didn't see him.
But like I said, good place to work. So yeah, there's a lot that goes on in Eureka. Yeah. And so you get a lot of experience really quick because, you know, we don't have, it's not like a big, huge city where you have, if you're on patrol in a bigger city, you go to a major crime scene. As a patrol officer, you go and tape it off, and then you wait for the investigators to come in, and you're on to the next call. Mm. In a place like Eureka and Redding, Redding's very much like this as well. You go to a major crime scene, you're it, you're the guy, and so wow. You
gotta tape it and solve it within 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's your case.
Okay, thank you very much. We're gonna take our first break.
Yep.
I wonder what the music's gonna be.
I don't know.
We'll be
after the first one, I don't know.
You got it.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back.
We're back.
Good evening, Northern California.
Good evening.
Nigel James, and we have our Sheriff Michael Johnson here with us. And,
hello, everybody.
Giving
hello.
Us the rundown of where he's been.
We were sharing our love stories with our dogs.
Yep.
During the break.
Dog stories, yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, something like you can oftentimes judge a person's behavior, attitude. On how they treat animals, right?
Yeah,
There's some trait in there.
Yeah, like I was gonna say, I've watched a lot of CSI or whatever that was, and a lot of those people in the early ages used to do bad things to animals before they became the torturous people they were on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you finished at Eureka.
Yep. Finished at Eureka, went to the FBI Academy, graduated from that in Quantico, Virginia.
Really?
Yeah, and then I...
A new bit of information.
Took a police chief job in Ione in Amador County, and I was there for 5 years. And then my wife and I were just ready to get back to the North State and didn't necessarily have our sights set on Redding and Shasta County, but we definitely knew we liked the North State. So... the job came open at Anderson, and I applied for that and got that, and I was a police chief there for 9 years.
So how was that?
It was good. It was really good. You know, it was a little tough coming into Anderson. I spent the first 3 months of my career in Anderson in federal court helping prosecute the officer who raped and in custody, and because of law enforcement's very integrous, at least in my mind, and very dear profession. So I wanted to make sure that that happened to protect our image and our integrity. And there's a lot of problems at Anderson when I got there. And so I had to change the culture and change the philosophy of the police department, worked very closely with the city manager and the city council, partnered with the community. We got a sales tax passed, and we changed that whole community. Not me. I'm not saying me changed that community, but I was definitely a leader and a partner in that, and transformed it to what it is now. We're very proud of what it is now. It makes me smile to hear people been dubbed the safest city in the North State, and I'm proud to be part of that transformation that took place.
Well, so one of the reasons why we're so fond of Shasta County and we want to help market it is because of other cities like Anderson and
yeah.
Shasta Lake and some of the other cities, because they tend to get left out, right?
Right, sure.
And Anderson in particular, they've done a really good job
over
the last number of years.
They're rolling.
they are, and you know it's a really good example. You're talking about tourism and the county. It's a really good example of how when the community, the administration, public safety, public works, everybody comes together, shared vision, works on that vision together, and achieves what the city is looking for. And I really think that, I really truly believe that Shasta County as a county can do the same thing we did in Anderson.
Right. Mm.
And I'm hoping that's what I'm bringing to the sheriff's office and to the county, some of that cohesion and some of that unification and that vision for the county.
So when did you make the switch into the sheriff's department?
When, as we said? August of 2021. They had some problems in the sheriff's department. There was a lot of drama and turmoil, and that seat was vacated. I learned that they were going to be appointing a new
yep.
sheriff. So I decided to put in. I was approached by several people in the community asking me to maybe step up for that. So I approached each council member one by one and told them I was interested. I submitted my resume, competed for it, and I was appointed.
So obviously you've been in there recently, so not enough, not like 9 years or 12 years.
Right.
Not enough time
uh-huh.
to, let's say, do what you did in Anderson, i.e. like shift the culture.
Yeah.
So if you win in June 7, is that one of your things you want to do is shift the culture? Is there a specific culture within?
Absolutely. There is. There is. And, you know, on that note, not that it's anywhere near done, but we've had quite a transformation in just the 10 months that I've been there. So I came in, I'm the outside guy, right? I didn't come from that agency. I didn't grow up in that agency. And so walking into that situation, we had, you know, men and women that belonged to that agency who didn't know me, didn't trust me, didn't know what to expect. The same as me. I didn't know anything about them. So there was a process of feeling out and each other, learning each other and trusting each other and getting there. So what I'm very proud of at this point is, you know, during this election came up, and I have been unanimously endorsed by the Deputy Sheriff's Association and the Sheriff's Administration Association for Shasta County, also endorsed by the Reading Managers Association and the PORAC, which is the statewide law enforcement. So those are big, big deals to me and big endorsements for me, as well as the District Attorney's Office. It's, you know, having that trust with the people, your allied agency that you work with, gives you the leg up to be able to start moving the organization in the right direction. And we are so young at the sheriff's office, so young, I mean, as the deputies on the street,
yep.
and the lack of leadership and the culture there needs to come together and move the right direction. And we have been, and it's very, very exciting. So I'm hoping that I get the next 4 years because I can really make it into something, really be the jewel of the North State if we have a little bit of time to work on it.
So my question to you is why or what explanation would you give? Obviously, you're saying that they're young. I obviously know that they're young by you saying chronologically, but is that just because it just so happened to be that there was a wave of retirement or there was people had to leave because of the chaos?
Not because of the chaos. It's more of dynamics of the economy and the people aging out and retiring. It's not unique to us,
okay.
James. It's a common thread across a lot of places in law enforcement where a lot of the people have retired out because of attrition and other things.
Yeah.
And then now we have this influx of a lot of young guys, and we're missing that mid-management level experience. So
I was curious if it had also to do with the social climate and people being afraid of being in law enforcement, because it seems to be that, you know, no matter what you do, somehow it comes back on you, right? Like,
I'll tell you, that has made recruitment very difficult.
Yeah.
It's a different,
like,
we used to have, so like, When I became an officer, back to Eureka, there would be 100 guys competing for one job.
Right.
Well, now there's 100 agencies competing for one guy. That's the change in it now. Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. really hard to find people, one, that can pass a background
yeah.
and get through everything, and two, just have the interest and the affinity for the profession, because it's just not like it used to be.
Sure. Yeah, well, I could totally see that. I mean, I watch things and see things and think, oh, my gosh, you know, like, I don't know. I can't believe how people behave, first and foremost, right?
Right.
And I'm like, why are you acting like that? The person that you're acting like that to has a gun, right? And at some point, they're going to have to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I don't know.
So on the recruitment note, I constantly am recruiting everywhere I go. I go out to dinner. I ask the waiter, hey, you ever thought of a career in law mm-hmm. enforcement? I mean, everywhere we go, me and my wife are constantly trying to recruit mm. into the profession. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, my true philosophy with that is I don't care if I'm recruiting them into Reading Police Department, CHP, anywhere in law enforcement. It's a win for me because of what we need. We need those people, those men and women, to stand up for us and protect our rights and do what they're doing. And since it's getting harder and harder to find, mm-hmm. I'm recruiting for anybody I can. Of course, I always try to bend them and sway them now to my agency, but if they want to do something else in another agency, I certainly spend the time with them still and try to get them in.
So for you going from a city, like a municipality, to a sheriff's department, so a county,
yeah,
was that a switch for you, meaning, like, you know, for lack of a better term, who you answer to, meaning in the sheriff's department, is the Constitution, right? You have to be a constitutionalist, hopefully.
Absolutely, I am. it is completely different. I mean, the dynamics of, like you said, you know, I'm elected here in the county, and it's the county politics, the county government, the way they do things is a lot different than municipality. Municipality, as a police chief, you're hired by the city manager and answer to that city manager, and you're not elected. So when you're elected, you answer to the people, and you are very strong as being a constitutionalist and standing up for constitutional rights, liberty, and life and property. That's what we do. So everything's different about it. The things that are similar, though, is, you know, I'm an executive in law enforcement, and law enforcement is law enforcement no matter how you cut it. That there's those basic things that we do to protect the citizens. And what the formula that works, in my opinion, that's worked for me, at least in my career, is being proactive and aggressive law enforcement. So that means instead of sitting around the office and waiting for a call for service to come in, hey, my name is Nigel and my house just got burglarized, and we show up and take the report.
It was James.
Okay, or James. And instead of that, what we do is when we're patrolling, we see the guy on the bicycle with no light in the middle of a neighborhood in the middle of the night. Instead of driving by him, we stop him and we start asking him questions. And next thing we know, we've got burglary tools or a bag of dope in the pocket or whatever, we take them to jail. Take all their stuff, be proactive, and start going after them. There's 57 other counties in this state that they can go to and live pretty easy, and I don't want Shasta County to be one of them.
So you said the J word, jail.
Jail, yeah.
So,
jail.
I thought it was going to be James.
we said that one, too.
I know.
So I've been here 12 years, and I would say for the last 12 years, even when I wasn't paying attention, I would hear the word jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
We need a new jail. We need a new jail.
Yep.
Jail, jail, jail.
Yeah. Tallest building in the city, jail.
So, I, you know, that's come up, like, it seems like every election season. So is it any different this time? Is it going to be different this time, do you think?
Well, I would like to hope so, yeah. I mean, I've started beating this drum as the year police chief in Anderson. I was beating on the drum of let's build a new jail facility, but I'm not looking for a traditional jail. I'm looking for something that'll help solve our community problems. So it's a campus, if you will, opposed to just a jail, and I want it linear opposed to vertical, so we don't have to deal with ADA issues and elevators and everything else. And it's going to have the new jail, new campus will have different aspects to it where we will be able to address mental health, we'll be able to address drug addiction, you know, work release, education, homelessness, all of that. But of course, we'll have several more beds to lock up those people who just don't get it and need to be locked up.
And it would seem like those agencies that provide all that stuff would be nice to be in one facility, right? Instead of scattered all over town. Or here's the other thing. It's like I always say we still have our business downtown, but it's like, why do you put that kind of stuff in the heart of your town, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's just my opinion, right? Like, you know, everybody's a human being, but if your people are picking up their checks and getting their tickets resolved and blah, 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 all these things that are technically what we would consider somewhat of the negative side of humanity, putting it in the heart of your downtown, it's like putting a dagger through your own heart.
Oh, man.
Well, I never understood that, but.
You know, and I'm like, okay.
So let me tell you, you are right on the mark. So I've said from the beginning, if you want to offer all this free stuff to this population who chooses to be homeless, because that's largely what that population is, then why don't you scatter it throughout the county and make them work for it? Why do you centralize it in your main city of your county?
Yeah.
And just put it all there. It's a bad recipe. It's a bad business decision. And,
it is.
And I truly believe
it's
that,
like
too.
Feeding a cat on your porch.
What's so we're getting, into, we're getting into it. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue. Sheriff Johnson, thank you.
Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Northern California. This is Nigel and James.
James, yep.
On KCNR 1460.
AM and 96.5 FM.
And we do have our own radio show website, nigelandjames.com.
And it's great.
It's kind of cool, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We put all the archives on there. So over the next couple of days, you'll be able to hear our interview with Mr. Johnson. He's our sheriff.
The law of the land.
Yeah. And he's running to get elected June 7th.
Yes.
I think we're all looking forward to June 8th, like we said.
Oh, my gosh, are we?
I'm already tired just watching the other places in the country.
I know, right?
Voting.
Yeah. Interesting times. So you showed up here at the Sheriff's Department in 2021.
Correct.
And so you're in Anderson in 2020. So you made that transition during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And so how was that for you?
On what aspect? Like law enforcement aspect?
Well, meaning
what a
like
nightmare.
Well, maybe it's different, right? So being from the police department and now being in the sheriff's department. So there's a big talk now, right? All these bills coming down.
Right.
Down the pike where they're going
to. And we are fighting them tooth and nail through the California State Sheriff's Association,
right.
Let me tell you.
So, because it's getting pretty interesting where they want to pass it so that law enforcement has to implement whatever the state of California comes down with, right? So then, the conversation I've been having or been hearing is it makes it an interesting dynamic when you, like we said before, are beholden to the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
and the things that come down are not
exactly
constitutional,
right?
Right. So are you?
Let me tell you something. Yeah. If we clearly know something is not constitutional, then we'll never enforce it. Constitution is the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land. I take an oath to the United States Constitution and to the California Constitution. So there's a little bit of maybe conflict there, but ultimately, the United States Constitution trumps everything. Mm-hmm. So if something's not constitutional, it will not be enforced.
So we all have that.
I like this.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. Well, you know, this is that weird season, right? So many of us have that little, there's a little tingle inside, like, thanks, something's coming, right? And if you pay attention to the big picture, right, now all of a sudden we switch from Ukraine to monkeypox. Like, that was like an instant switch, right?
Right.
And I thought for sure it's going to be a little thing and it's not going to keep growing. It keeps growing and growing and growing.
No. We went from COVID to vaccine to all of a sudden, boom, Ukraine, and then boom, all of a sudden, monkeypox. And right? So for example, I think Belgium is the first country now.
Yeah.
A few days ago announced that if you test positive for monkeypox, you're a mandatory 14-day quarantine. Right?
And in other countries, it's 21 now.
And all of a sudden, all these other countries are having monkeypox.
This is amazing.
Like all of a sudden, like it's almost like it's on cue. I'm not going to say that it's completely on cue, but it's okay.
Well, but also if you do any research on monkeypox and its spread and its viral load and all these things, right? It shouldn't spread the same way that it is. I mean, you literally, I mean, what they're talking about now is that you have to be, like, literally on top of somebody, literally, to get it.
Well, in Shasta County, we are 3,800 square miles, so that's not going to happen, so we're fine, right?
So we ought to be okay.
I think we'll be okay.
Right.
So what you're saying is if they really try to go after us this time around with crazy restrictions that don't make any sense at all, right. What would the correct term be? You'd be on the side of the people, shall we say?
Absolutely. Yes. It's so when the mask mandates and the all the COVID stuff was coming down, I was actually chief of police in Anderson during that time, and they being the state tried to, you know, mandate that we as a police were supposed to go out and enforce this, especially with businesses. And I did not, I gave a direct order to all our officers. We are not going to one single business and telling them how to run their business. We are not enforcing any mask law, you know, and we did it. So the only person that had really leverage on that, at least in the city of Anderson at the time, was the state, who sent alcohol beverage control, ABC, to those businesses that had liquor licenses and basically strong-armed them into compliance, otherwise they'd lose their liquor license. And so that's a perfect example of where maybe now as a sheriff I would have more power to step in and say, not constitutional. I don't think you're going to do that.
So did that actually happen in Anderson, where some businesses visited?
Two that I know, yep.
And isn't it strange how they enforce things with certain types of businesses, right? It's like talk about unconstitutional in one sense of just what they're doing, but it's very selective on who they're going to bully, you know. It's not an even, you know, slap on the wrist. It's just always something, isn't it?
I personally didn't understand why one business was deemed, vital?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Essential.
Essential.
Mm-hmm.
Essential. And then another business doing something similar, but a mom-and-pop version where they have to close. Right?
Yeah.
Let me explain it to you a little bit. So you said you can't understand that.
I have
a governor that has no sense at all, so there's your answer.
Well, no, okay. So I do actually get it because it's follow the money, right?
Right.
Follow the money. So I get it. But it was just kind of sad to see it happening here.
It really was.
Well, it was a perfect example of that kind of, I think, floating in the middle, right? Like, most people would look at Enjoy the Store as a gift store, right? I would think, for the most part, right? But we actually carry quite a bit of locally produced food, local and regionally produced food. And so we are classified as a class 2 market. And a class 2 market actually was considered on the essential list because we carried products like flour and dried beans and things that were
staples
and vitals that would not spoil. You know what I mean? Like, so they were things that you could need and keep in your pantry for long periods of time and then cook to survive if you were quarantined, that kind of stuff. So, but it was very interesting because I very quickly got phone calls from the public health department And they were always like very nice at the beginning, like, you know, oh, hey, this is so-and-so public. I was just telling, if you have any, you know, COVID mandate policy in the store, they're asking you what your policy was. Like if, you know, you're requiring people to mask, these kind of things. And it was always the lead into, you know, you're not supposed to be open. And I would say, well, why not? And they would say, well, because you're not essential. And I'd say, but I'm a class 2 market. If you look at the class 2 market listing, it says that we are essential. And then they would say, oh, we're sorry. We didn't realize that's what you were under. And then I would say, isn't there some type of a database that you guys are looking at? Or are you just randomly calling people because you want to?
Yeah, which leads you to believe that you could have not had any of that stuff and just told them that. And they would have been like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that happened 3 times.
Yeah,
I got
really?
A call 3 times, yeah.
Wow.
The same thing. And then I got the crazy.
So the tip is, yeah. If you get the phone call this time, you just say you're class 2.
Yep.
Okay, good. There we go.
And I wasn't offended. I mean, I knew people were doing their job.
The knowledge that comes through this show.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, people have to do their things and their jobs and stuff. But you would think that, like, legitimately, I don't know, maybe because this is our first pandemic in this realm, they just didn't have a database. But I'm just assuming they know everything about everybody. So
yep.
If you just simply looked at it as a class 2 market, you'd know.
So is this the first time that you're actually running for an office?
It's the first time in my career I've had to run for an office, yes.
So do you consider yourself a politician now?
Gosh, no. Yeah. Absolutely not. I consider my guy a poor sheriff that has to run for a position.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't, you know, on a serious note, I can't wait to get back to work. That's all I want is this to be done so I can get back to work. Cause trying to run an agency, day to day business and serve the public like I'm supposed to be doing and run a campaign, it's exhausting.
Yeah. So was there a slight learning curve?
Oh, huge.
Jumping in the deep end to becoming a politician, right?
Yeah, huge learning curve. Yeah. I'm still learning. I would have done a ton of things differently if I was running again, yeah. But, I'm just running this time, and this is the now, and this is what I'm dealing with. So,
so what would be some of the lessons that you have learned about, you know, having to run an election? Because now, whether you like it or not, right, you get labeled a politician or you get labeled a candidate. So, right out of the gate, without you having any say, so you're automatically lumped into one group or the other. You get labels attached.
And I don't think there's any avoiding that. People are going to label you and come up with their own interpretations and whatever. I think the first thing I would do if I run another election is get myself a muzzle and put it on myself because I'm not. I haven't been the greatest about.
Have you had a couple of moments?
Speaking of politically correct all the time, right? That's
hard.
I'm just an honest guy, and I sometimes speak my mind, and it doesn't always fare well for me, I guess.
That's hard.
What?
Just to not.
Well, you don't want me to repeat it, do you?
No. So I would say, no, that's hard.
Because, like, you know what? A lot of times it's a visceral reaction. You speak from the heart. People have done something to label you, whatever, and it's not genuine or correct, right? And you want to be able to say something back that negates what's being said that's not fair or, you know, in any, whatever the circumstance may be, right? And, you know, and for me too, I mean, I have to constantly think about what I'm going to say because it could get me in trouble, but I also always say to myself, it's my right to say it.
Well, and it's true.
Even if it gets me.
But when you're running for an office,
that's,
yeah,
part of the game.
It's
right.
It's very hard to navigate that, and especially when people want to spread misinformation or falsehoods about you and they portray them as facts. But the part with me is, I'm not that guy. I'm not going to get into a back and forth. I'm not going to spend my time trying to rebut those non-truths. I'm just who I am. I'm running on my experience, my education, my history, and it's going to be what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say this particular election is probably one of the most important ones in a long, long time. And so, and I think certain offices are going to be very important, especially the sheriff's department.
I would agree.
Having a little tingle of what's coming. So I think the sheriff's department is a vital. And I think it's very important that people in our community know exactly who you are. So I wouldn't worry I wouldn't worry about the PC thing. We just want to know who you are, right?
Well, it's a make and break. I mean, like I said, I was laughing, but the law of the land, like you said, right?
Yep.
You're going to follow the Constitution. If somebody comes and gets in a position like that of power where the Constitution doesn't mean anything to them, there goes the protection of the people.
You want to know who I am? Here's who I am. So I've been in law enforcement for 26 years. I am 100% integrous in that profession and hold true to serving the people. Who I am right now doesn't change. I am the sheriff. That is a position I hold. A position I hold in an organization, and I have a job to do as that position, which is serve the people. But who I really am is Mike Johnson, the husband of 29 years and the father to two, and a avid hunter, avid fisherman, and a dog trainer. That's who I am. That's really who I am. But what I do, I take very seriously. I take my oath of office extremely seriously, and my service to the people that I am elected to serve with.
So you've done something right in the marriage department.
Yeah. Right? I know. Not bad, huh?
Awesome. Well, let's get some...
Next week, we're going to talk to your wife.
Yeah.
So let's get into that a little more when we come back. Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. 29 years to a Portuguese. Dude, you got some cojones.
Portuguese, born on the islands.
Oh, really?
St. George, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So she actually speaks Portuguese.
Yeah, right? When she's mad, you know it.
Portuguese. You don't know what she's saying, you just know that she's mad.
I just know that she's mad, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 29 years. I'm very proud of that. She's a good woman. Stood by me through all this mess and all the career and the trials and tribulations of being law enforcement. So, yeah, I'm pretty lucky.
Okay, so you're in Shasta County, and so you actually, you're one of those who does get out and enjoy the outdoors.
I do. Yeah, I do. Well, not since I became sheriff, but yeah, I do. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to get outdoors. Do it a lot.
Any favorite spots you like to go?
Well, there's a bunch. I love the Sacramento River. I love salmon fishing on the Sacramento River. I love geese and duck hunting in the Fall River area. It's pretty much all over. I deer hunt and...
So when you're fishing in the Sacramento River, I love to fish, but I'm not a fisherman, right? So I don't know any of the rules, so to speak. So when you see people standing in the river, when you're driving over 44 Bridge or whatever, they're fishing for like trout or something, right?
Yeah, those are fly fishermen. This stretch in through here, the city is really big. It's world-class waters for trout fishing, fishermen. Right. So I'm primarily a bait fisherman, so I go fish the deep holes during the salmon runs. Yeah.
You're in a boat, okay.
Yep. Fun stuff.
It is.
When people come, do people from out of the area come to visit you?
Yes.
And when they do you send them off to like go check out certain places like Lassen or Burney Falls or anything? Or did you?
Yeah,
give them a menu.
Yeah, we do. We take them. We take them to a bunch of different places. We have family that comes up a lot and visits us, or a big family unit. So whenever, in fact, my son from San Diego just left to go back home this morning. So he was here with his wife and my new grandbaby, which was fun.
Aww.
Yeah, so, first one.
First?
Yeah.
Oh, Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpa. Grandpa Johnson. Thanks for that, James. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Grandpa Johnson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you didn't add that to the list of
accomplishments. I didn't. Did I? Yeah. No.
Well, that's a new one. Check.
Yeah. So for all the newbies who are here in town, it took me a little while to get used to Reading because I was in LA for so long that, you know, it took 45 minutes to get to the freeway. And all of a sudden, I'm in a place where it takes 12 minutes
right
to get to the other side of town.
Uh-huh. Isn't it great?
Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the grand opening of Trader Joe's is on the front page of the newspaper. I'm like, okay, this is a little different, right? So for those who are the newbies here, what are some of your favorite places to go eat?
To go eat? Yeah. Oh, my number one favorite place is Norm's in Palo Cedro.
Okay.
I love Norm's. Norm's is a great place.
I have not been yet.
You haven't?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Heard lots of great things. Heard the trials and tribulations because they were so popular so fast.
Yeah.
It was hard for them to keep up.
It was. And they went through a little growing pains with that when they first opened, but they've got it down now, and it's a really good restaurant. Oh, well, I like it.
You know,
Carlene's. I like Carlene's.
Keep up.
We'll have to talk to Jared and Carl and see if we can do a remote from there.
Yeah, Carlene's is great.
Yeah, Carlene's is great. I live in Palo Cedro, so I also like PCI there. You know, the cook your own steak thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just like that atmosphere. That's a lot of fun.
I like that place too.
Yeah.
Let's check this out.
Well, Norm's I haven't, but
Wilda's. I love Wilda's for lunch. Oh,
yeah. Yep.
Pooja bowls. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. Haven't had that in a while.
Right.
Anything in Anderson?
Anything in Anderson? Well, it used to be Mary's. It's now Charlou's. I love Charlou's.
Now, did they change the name in Anderson, too, to Charlou's?
Yes. Yeah.
What was that all about?
They own that franchise, the Mary's Pizza franchise, for a while, and I think they ended up buying it out and changing the name.
Okay.
Charlou is the guy that owns it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
So... do you consider yourself a native now of Shasta County, furniture?
But I don't think Shasta County considers me a native yet.
Well, there's some advantages to being outside the fishbowl, right, and coming in just kind of like you said before, right?
Yeah, as far as my profession goes, for sure, because I bring a lot of different ideas and experience. So this is the fourth county I've lived in California, absolutely the best, but the fourth county. So I have a different perspective, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming from outside the fishbowl, coming from outside, you're able to see the blind spots that some people can't see, right? Like the whole, what are you talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we've noticed that for Shasta County, too. When I moved to Shasta County, I'm like, can't you see how amazing this place is? Why are you down on your own county? Like, this place is amazing.
But that's pretty typical. People that, you know, you grow up in an area, you always want to get out, right? Oh, I'm leaving this place. And you go out and spread your wings, and then you realize, hey, I came from
a pretty good place. I was
yeah.
like, say, when people complain about this place, I was like, well, you know, there's four people that complain about living in Saint-Tropez, too. But, you know,
right.
There's always somebody who complains.
Mm-hmm.
So how have you seen over the last 10 years that you've been here? How have you seen Shasta County change?
Well, I've seen a drastic change in the influx of a criminal transient population, if you will. So I'm not talking about the transients on the street. I'm talking about people that are coming up I-5 and victimizing our community. It's definitely been more profound and a bigger impact on this region. So, you know, there's some of that comes just because of drugs, or some of that comes population base that are moving human trafficking and stuff up and down the corridor.
Is a dirty.
It is.
Well,
it
we're
is.
On I-5 and
corridor.
And you know, for a while there, I was working with, you know, homeless rock stars and getting to the whole homeless situation. And I don't think people here realize how much human trafficking actually goes on here.
Yeah, it's significant. It's significant everywhere. And, you know, we have one of our problems with our county is the illegal marijuana grows. And I'm talking about the big cartel organized crime marijuana grows and all through this county. And those are the same people that are responsible for a lot of the human trafficking, a lot of the heroin, a lot of the fentanyl and stuff that's being brought up and down here and in our county. So we have launched a kind of a war on that, and we're been going full force on marijuana eradication, and we'll continue that as time goes on here.
So is it Is it, like, I know this sounds weird, is it tough taking on the human trafficking scenario?
It is. It's tough because it involves a very complex investigation to get into. I mean, just rescuing a victim is one thing, but if you're actually trying to break the chain and get inside the organization that's trafficking these people, it's a very complex investigation. It takes time, money, resources to get into. So yeah, it is
tough. And I don't, to be really honest with you, I don't even understand the concept. I mean, I hear the word all the time and I guess I have a perception of what that means.
So in Anderson, we did a great case.
I'm like, what the hell is it?
It started with the Chinese massage parlors, mm-hmm. and we had one in Anderson and that's where it started. And so we got into that and figured out it was linked to a few in Redding, which was linked to some in Red Bluff, which ended up being linked to some in Arizona, which ended up being linked to some in Miami, which were coming out of the country. It's just, but it was over a year and a half investigation that to get us there, and it was a great case and made some great arrests.
So then what does that actually mean? The people that are working in these facilities are working against their will, or they're
brought over usually from out of the country on a contract or a promise that either they're kidnapped and taken into like slave labor, right. and their families are threatened, or they are brought under maybe the promise that if you work for X amount of years, we'll help get your family over here, you'll get asylum, and you'll be, a United States citizen, which is all a bunch of yes.
And this person's just like an indentured.
See, the sad part is, yep. James, that humans are more valuable than drugs, right?
Absolutely.
Price per pound, literally, price per pound.
Absolutely. I can't wrap my head around any of that.
That's crazy. It's really crazy how it works like that.
It's because, and I would say the vast majority of people, don't have the wherewithal to even think about that, and let alone that it happens right here, right? But when we get deep into it, you realize it does, and it's like it freaks people out. Like, really?
No, it totally freaks me out because I'm like,
so
I can't believe that
case
happened.
The case I just told you about, that's Anderson, one of our small cities in our county, where, they're able to hide and start doing some of that, set up shop, and you wouldn't think about it, like you said. Oh, yeah, it didn't happen here. That's somewhere else. That's the big cities. Well, no, in fact, it's happening here.
It's probably more prevalent in the smaller cities just because it's not known, right? Or it's not part of
I forgot the exact number, how many come through here, but because we're on I-5 and it's exactly the halfway point between L.A. and Seattle, we're like the perfect little stopping point. You get a couple of
human trafficking
warehouses.
Leg stretch. How horrible.
So you have actually come across that.
Yes, we have. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So what's next for you?
How can people reach me? So people can reach me on, there's the campaign website, which is Johnson for Sheriff 2022, and that's a Facebook site. Or if you go to the Shasta County Sheriff's Facebook or website, my email address and my contact information is on there. And I tell people all the time, you reach out and you want to talk to me or bring something up. I'm very good at responding to people. Not always the same day. Sometimes not always the same week. But
you responded to us very quickly.
Yeah, but I eventually get back to you. And so I do very much appreciate people's perspectives, their ideas, their creativity, their input on a variety of things. I'm not afraid to take constructive criticism. I'm not afraid to try new things and fail, because that's how you end up getting to solutions. So anybody wants to reach out, please feel free to, and I will get back to you.
What do you want people to do for you, if you could tell people? Like, reaching out's one thing. That's, me wanting
what I want
you.
People
what
to
would
do?
You would want
people I want people to pay attention and get involved in their community. That's what I want. Because it can't be done. Let's go back to Anderson, where since we were talking about Anderson and the success there, a huge part of that success was getting the neighborhoods involved, getting the local businesses involved, and having a connection with them, and having them actually assigned a liaison officer who would be their connection and be part of the solution rather than just somebody complaining and part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's a good
one. It really does make a difference.
I'm sure it does.
Well, thank you very much for coming on. Are you running this campaign by yourself? Or do you have
Absolutely not. Yeah. If I was doing that, I probably wouldn't even be here. I have a team of people that I selected that are helping me in there. I'm very grateful for them. And they're putting in a lot of hard work. I'm putting in a lot of hard work, too. I'm going doing things like this. I'm going knocking on doors. I'm doing everything.
Kissing babies.
Kissing babies, yeah. The whole nine.
Well, you know, you could bring some dogs along and...
Yeah. Dogs are a big sucker.
It's like a baby and a dog. Right?
I know. Well, my dog Brandy, my yellow lab, I've made her official part of my campaign committee for sure.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks again. Thanks for the camel. appreciate that.
One minute left.
All right. let's go out with that.
With the camel.
Let's go out with Hump Day.
Right. Now he's got to cue it back up again. Really good.
Put him on the spot here.
We have a newbie in the studio today.
But he's doing great.
He's doing awesome. Great. Yeah.
Jared didn't even have to correct him.
I haven't seen Jared jump up and run to the computer. Oh, here he goes.
There's no slapping?
No.
Okay, so we spend the last minute talking? Is that how we're doing there?
Thank you again for coming. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Again, guys, I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks for the conversation.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll work together more on the tourism part of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we look forward to working with you on that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Guess what day it is.
See you next week.
Guess what day it is. Huh? Anybody? Julie. Hey, guess what day it is. Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.